One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
May we pray again. Our Heavenly Father, we need preaching power and unction and wisdom and discernment. And then we need a congregation out in Radio Land and here in the People's Church here in Corpus Christi that will listen and heed and then practice and apply the truth. And I pray that from the preacher to the last person in the congregation, we'll accept what the Lord has for us this night. Bless every guest and every visitor and give to us now to be a minister of the Word of God in such a way that folks will profit by the message, having mixed with it believing faith. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been thinking today about the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. I'd like for you to get the last verse of the preceding chapter, which is Acts chapter 3. Unto you first, God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That's the way God blesses you. God never blesses anybody in sin. He blesses them by getting them out of sin. God's a great God, but there's one thing He cannot do, and that is smile on sin. He never has. He never will. And sometimes the people who come here think that maybe our standards are a little high. Well, may I remind you that we had nothing to do with setting the standards. I mean, that's none of our business. We're trying to go by them. Here's your standard right here. And if anybody ever comes to the place where you can prove that our standards are higher than the Bible, then it's time for us to come down. But until you do, we better keep it going up. Because I know as well as I'm standing here, we've never reached really the Bible standard. And I'd be the first to admit it. I mean, we just never have. I know of nobody that's ever... Now, I know there's a little group got together in a certain city. And they decided that they were going to start a new movement. And listen, always be afraid of the new movements. Run from them just like you would an old rattlesnake. Don't ever get tangled up in these new movements. I haven't got any confidence in any new movement. Brother, what we need is to return to the old movement, and that's the Holy Spirit. And they got together and they said, now, we really have lived past the revelation of the Bible. I mean, we're ahead of the Bible. They said, we have to have our revelation direct every day from heaven. And God is giving us more than you can find in the Bible. Now, I don't believe that. God never will give us more in this Bible age than He's written down in His book. And we'll never have anything to go by that'll be as safe as the Word of God. And you let all these little new movement leaders jump up and say, follow me, you'll wind up down a blind alley every time. You're not going to improve on salvation by grace. The Bible's full of it. You're not going to improve on eternal security of the believer in Christ. God does the keeping. You're not going to improve on the great spiritual teachings of... Why, listen, when our nation was great, what were they doing? Just believing and living in the Bible. And the thing about it is, what we're preaching and what we're doing would solve and cure everything in the world. I never forget that dear old man. Way up in East Texas, I preached on the courthouse square, on the steps of the courthouse, one Saturday afternoon. and the crowd together. And we were in a campaign. And that was when you could just have a street service nearly anywhere. I mean, the people would welcome you and everything. And now they look like the hoodlums, about the only thing you can get together on the streets and not get thrown in jail. But we had a good meeting, and the people sang, and then we gave an invitation, and I started out preaching on the street. Athens, Trinidad, Malakoff, I mean, Waco and Baylor and so forth. And used to, you could just take your Bible down, stand on any street corner, and just preach. Students would gather around, you know, and people would witness and testify. I've seen people come and get saved right down on the sidewalk, just kneel. And I mean, people thought, now then, they just about lock us all up. They got ordinances against it, you know, and it's against the law. I nearly got thrown in jail. You remember many years ago? Had my tent stretched out here. They just about got me. In fact, these officers came out to arrest me that night. And they said I had no right to use a PA system, that I could not. There's an ordinance against it. And they claimed that it was unnecessary noise. That's what they called my preaching. And I was a kind of a racketeer. And, brother, we had it around and around. I mean, I was on the front page, and I wouldn't try to. And then finally they kicked me off of KWBU. You remember that? They kicked me off of KWBU. And the reason, they said he's controversial. Well, anybody's controversial that preaches the truth. And so there they were, ready to throw me in jail. But I tell you what they could do. They'd go down on the T-head and have dances, and them old silly bands play down there and jar half of the time. Buccaneer Days come in, drag all the money out and all that bunch of dope heads, and they make more racket down there than you ever heard in your life. But you get loose with the gospel around your neck, and somebody's going to shoot at you. This whole world hates God, hates Jesus Christ. You know it so. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just trying to tell you, you're not going to find people without Christ that love Him. They don't love Him. That's the only thing wrong with Corpus Christi. But I tell you what, I'm not real smart, but I could cure. But that old man, you know what he said to me when I got through preaching? He waited till everybody had gone, and that old humble man stood down there, sweet as an old man could be. And when I walked down, he reached out his old black hand, and I reached out my hand, and he gripped my hand and took off his hat, and he looked up in tears just rolling down his old cheeks. Had some gray beard, you know. Old hair was gray. And he looked up and he said, Reverend, he just weeping. He said, what you said today would cure the world. Cure the world. I like that. I never have forgotten it. Been 20 years ago, he said, what you said would cure the world. And that's right. And you know why? Because Jesus would cure the world. And if what you got won't do to live by, it won't be fit to die by. Put that down. And if it won't help you while you're living, it won't help you when you die. And if you're scared to live, you're going to be scared to die. You watch and see. Oh, I tell you, we need the Lord. And we need Him in our heart. And so He said, I come to bless you. How? By turning away you from your iniquity and sin. I want to get you out of sin, and that'll help you. There's no way to help people in sin. People come to me and say, Brother Wolf, will you pray with me about my drinking? I said, no, give it up and I'll pray with you. I mean, no need praying over liquor. I can't pray over a liquor bottle. Bust the thing and be done with it. Same thing about cigarettes. You say, Brother Wolf, pray with me about my cigarettes. Pray with you, nothing. Throw the pack away. Bear them, tear them up, burn them up, and say, Lord, from here on, I don't want any more. I know you'll give me, but sure He will. Would you let me tell you a story? It happened right here in Corpus. And I've told it many times. I just came in my mind. He called me when the radio was over one afternoon, 5:30. He said, Brother Olaf, I just heard you on the radio. Nobody knows but God how much the radio, how many it's reached. I'll tell you one thing. That's the greatest ministry God ever gave me. I mean, I preached to hundreds of thousands on the radio every day. And that, to me, is the greatest opportunity God ever gave me. But he said, I had a great old mother and daddy. And he said, but I'm a drunkard. And he said, would you come to see me in the morning? I said, no, sir. He said, you won't? And I said, no, sir. I'm going to come right now. I said, where do you live? He said, on Craig Street. He didn't live over six blocks, eight blocks from where I was. And he didn't much want me to come, but I said, I'm coming in here. And so I took around and went around there and I went in. And you know, he weighed about 240 or 50 pounds. And there he was sitting there. And he said, well, said, you came. I said, yes. He said, you know, I'm not going to go where my mother and daddy went, the way I'm living. And I said, well, I've got good news for you. I said, Jesus will save you. And I talked with him, and he said, will you pray with me? And I said, no, sir. He said, will you pray for me? And I said, no, sir. He said, you won't. I said, that's what I want you to come for. Pray for. I said, no, sir. There's a hindering cause. He said, what's hindering? I said, that quart of liquor sitting over there on the drain board. Well, he said, what you want me to do about that? I said, pour it out. And that poor old drunkard looked at me. And he looked at that liquor bottle. And then he said, all of it? I said, every drop. Oh, he said, pray for me. I said, I can't pray. I said, I prayed at midnight, you'll drink till daylight. I said, I'm not going to even pray on that liquor bottle. You don't ever find any people praying in a liquor store, do you? Wouldn't that be something? Go and buy a jug of liquor and said, give me about a quart or a fifth or, you know, of this bottled in bond or something else, you know, and I want you. And the man said, well, now, wait a minute. Before I ever sell anybody liquor, I pray about it. Well, that'd hurt his business, wouldn't it? Nobody ever prayed about sin, did they? No, sir. And I tell you what, they don't want you praying in there either. So, he said, would you leave just about that much? I said, nope, not a drop. You know, that big old man looked at me, weighed nearly 250 pounds. He looked at me, he said, Brother Olof, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. He said, will you just pray for me? I said, no, sir. Well, he said, will you go pour it out? I said, I'll be delighted. I said, I'll make it all right. And I went over there and I busted that top off of the thing and I poured it down. There she went. Right down. And then I washed the drain out, you know. Set that old liquor bottle down up there. I said, now let's pray. And the Lord blessed. And he gave his heart to Christ. And he said to me, when I left, he said, you're going to come back? I said, be back tomorrow. Be back tomorrow. And so I went back after the radio program, and he was sitting at the table, and his wife was there and had a nice meal spread. And I remember it had cornbread and buttermilk and onions and beans and, just stuff like Raymond came up on, you know. And he said, when I sat down, they was already eating when I walked in. He said, you're going to pray, aren't you? And I said, yes, sir. Wasn't no liquor bottle around there. He said, you know, I'm sober. And I said, yeah, I noticed that. And so I prayed, and then I just kept going back. You just need to visit people like that and spend some time with them. And he was just like a little kid every time I'd come to the door. I was welcome in that home. And so I went off in a revival meeting, and I came back. And as soon as I got back in office, I called his home, and I said, where's my friend, Mr. Howell? She said, who is this? Well, I said, it's his preacher friend. Oh, Brother Olof. I said, yes, ma'am. Where is he? Well, she said, he's on his way to Oklahoma in a casket. He's being shipped. And said, oh, I want to thank you for telling him about Jesus. Huh? Now, you know, you say, now, Brother Wolf, you want it? No, sir. You know what God was doing? He was answering his old mother's prayers. And he might have been riding his body in that casket, but he's holding hands with his mom in heaven. See? Because he got saved. See? Listen, there's nothing like it. I mean, there's nothing you can do down here that's permanent except win somebody to Christ. And so let's be at it. All right, let's begin reading chapter 4, verse 1. As they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, and being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. The number one doctrine of the Bible is the living Christ through the resurrection. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Now, you know what that means, don't you? That means they put them in jail. For doing what? Preaching a living Christ. You know who did it? The Bible said the priests. You know who the priests were? Religious leaders. Sadducees. Captain of the temple. I mean, the big shots. Put them right in the jailhouse. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. That's a good report, wasn't it? I believe I could take a trip to jail for 5,000 men. Give me 5,000 men. I tell you, I believe I could spend a few nights in the jailhouse. And listen, did you know, I didn't say anything about the women and children. You know, if you got 5,000 men saved, there must have been a heap of women and children come in. I never have gotten 5,000 men saved. But I tell you one thing, if I ever got 5,000 men saved, my prediction is that we'd have at least 20,000 converts, because I believe we'd get that many women, and we'd get at least twice that many children. And we'd have 20,000 converts. I tell you, they's getting the job done over there in the book of Acts. Now, you know what the book of Acts is, don't you? Somebody said, well, that's Acts of the Apostles. That's what it said. No, that's not really right. It's Acts of the Holy Spirit. Apostles never could do that. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles and through the Christians. And so he said, 5,000 of them got saved. They believed. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kin of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Oh, they had all their kinfolk gathered up at Jerusalem. Now, you know what Jerusalem is, don't you? That's religious headquarters. I mean, that's where they really got the organization set. That's where they had religion. But they didn't have any righteousness. And so he said, when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now let me go back to the third chapter, Peter and John. This all started when a couple of preachers decided to go to prayer meeting. And it went up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon because the Bible said it was the ninth hour. And that would make it, because the 12th hour would be 12 o'clock, or the 6th hour would be 12 o'clock, and the ninth hour would be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, see? And so at 3 o'clock, Peter and John decided that they'd go to the temple at the hour of prayer, and it was about the ninth hour, and there was a crippled man that had been crippled all of his life, and he was laid and at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Have you ever wondered why they laid him at the gate like that? They didn't lay him at the liquor store. They laid him at the gate called Beautiful because he knew that God's people would be liberal and kind and loving. And I think if he didn't get anything else, he at least got to fellowship with some sweet people. So when Peter and John were about to go into the temple, Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us, or give us your attention, please. And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now you know that there's only one thing that God ever put above his name, don't you? And there's one thing that's above the name of Christ. And it'll always have to be that. You've got to put one, and this is the only thing that goes above the name of Christ. Nobody has a right to put anything above the name of Christ except his word, what you've got in your lap. That's the Bible. God has set his word above his name. Psalm 138, verse 2. Because no man's name is any better than his word. You know, I've never seen as many promise breakers as we have now in the world. Supposed to be Christians. People supposed to love the Lord, promise something, forget all about it. Now, don't you think I'm standing up here saying I haven't forgotten, but I tell you one thing. If I forget a promise, I want to apologize quick as I can get around to it. I don't want to ever break a promise. And any time you promise something, you know, people come to the city of refuge over there. They promise to stay 90 days. They promise. And we've taken, I don't know how many, a man that has a big Cadillac place and I don't know what else. And he shipped his son over there by plane. And every man that goes to the city of refuge, and I wish this would go out over the air to all the friends, every person that comes to the city of refuge agrees to stay 90 days. Not one day less, 90 days. And then second, he promises that he will not smoke one cigarette while he's there. Not one. He's through with them. 90 days he's going to go. Number three, we allow no television and no cigarettes and no coffee and tea with tannic acid in it. I mean, all of it. And we just try to get these things so they can break them loose from the habits, you see. We allow no aspirin tablets because they're habit-forming and hurtful, especially to your elimination. And so we go in there and trust the Lord, see. And we've got to break them loose from the world, see? Got to do it. And we can't, there can be no tapering off. And say what you please. And I've gotten letters from people who said, Brother Love, that's too hard on them. Yeah, but it's gotten victory from those that wanted victory. I mean, they've come through. And they've never died. We've never lost an alcoholic or a dope addict. There's never been one die over there. Not in any of our homes have we ever lost one. And they've come off. Why? Because the Lord helped them. God wants to help His people. And we'd be sunk without the Lord's help. We cannot make it. The world will never understand any of our homes until they get in the faith gear. Nobody can understand a person who walks by faith until they start walking by faith. Why? Because it's supernatural. I'm not interested in the natural. I mean, what have you got in the natural? I mean, you've got 147 pounds, I have. You've got so many pounds of flesh. You've got a mind. You've got all of it's natural apart from the quickening of the Holy Spirit. So, they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He leaping up, stood, walked, entered in with him at the temple, walking, leaping, praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was, the Bible said. And, of course, now you know the trouble's coming, isn't it? Peter and John are in trouble. They've gone to jail now. So they got him before the examining committee, and he said, verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Now here's my text. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Verse 12. Now, if you were to go to 1 Timothy, he'd say, there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's only one. There's not another one. Remember that old song we sang? Is there anyone can help us? Who can give an old sinner peace? Whose soul is burdened down with sin? And then the chorus said, yes, there's one. But there's only one. Jesus, blessed, blessed Jesus, He's the one. When affliction press your soul and the waves of trouble roll, why, listen, there's a friend that can help you. And Jesus is the one. Neither is there salvation in any other. Listen, I had one of the priests to call me and said, we got a girl in trouble. And we have no place to put her. And wondered if you could help us. And I said, yes, sir, we'll just bring her out. I said, I'd like you to come out and visit with us. We'd be so glad to have you. And he said, I'd like to come and look around. I said, that'll be good. That'll be good. But you see, and I respect, and I'm not a religious fellow. I'm really not. I believe I've got less religion than I've ever had in my life. And there's nothing I hate more than I hate religion. But I do love Christ. And He's the answer. He is the answer. You know, people can make a God out of the religion. People can make a God out of the church. They can make a God out of the training union, out of the Sunday school, out of the WMU, out of the brotherhood, or out of being a fundamentalist, or I'm an independent, I'm something. Listen, who cares what you are? I don't know if you're a Christian. That's all I'm interested in. You can just have all the rest of it. I've been through all that stuff. I mean, I've circulated. I mean, I've been right in the saturated, been right in the middle of it, climbed every totem pole you can climb. And I found out there's nothing that matters except Christ and being born again and staying right in this book. Religion's a very deceitful thing. It sure did fool Cain. And Cain killed the first fellow that ever died. You know that over religion, too. He's proud of his religion. Sure he believed in God. Sure he believed he ought to take an offering when he went to church. Sure he believed in going. He went right over to worship just like Abel did and came away mad. Why? Because he didn't go as an obedient child of God. And he offered the first fruits of the ground, left out the blood because he didn't have the faith to believe that Jesus Christ was going to come and die for him. And therefore he didn't get a blood offering. There's only one thing that's going to please God, and that's your relationship to Him through the blood of Christ. And if you've never been born again, you'll come here and stay here and leave here unsaved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
We're glad you've joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff and the message, Acts chapter 4. Now, to receive that message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO3487. It is important to recover shipping and handling. We ask for a gift of at least $10. And if you can give a further gift for the ministry, it would be certainly appreciated at this time. Our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. To order by credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507. Our special offer for the month of April is Oh, To Be Like Thee, a collection of songs by various artists. Some of the songs are Jesus Means All to Me, Down the Sawdust Trail, I Want to Do Thy Will, O Lord, He Knows Just What I Need, The Fire Song, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul, and several more. Now, when requesting this CD, asked for offer number 310, that's 310, and enclose an offering of $12. We accept credit card offers, so dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507, or you may write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Again, that offer is Oh, To Be Like Thee, and the order number is 310. Again, the address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Or to use your credit card, dial toll-free, 1-800-772-7507. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, wishing you all have a good day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea.